Good morning and welcome to Chestnut Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Sunday, October 25th, which means it's the last Sunday of the month, but it's the first Sunday for us today to worship God. And that's what we plan on doing. We want you to just come and join us in a time of worshiping God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Throughout the past month, I've been in the book of John, and again today we are going to be in the book of John. A prayer that Jesus had for those that would believe. So John 17 is going to be our passage today. Before we go there, we want to stop and we want to worship God. So let me start with a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come before you. God, just with open hearts and open minds to want to hear your message today. Lord, we know that as we hear the prayers of Jesus today, many within our own church are dealing with physical struggles, emotional struggles, spiritual struggles, financial struggles. But God, you are our God, and that you hear our prayers and that you answer them in your time and your will. God, let today be a day where we come before you to hear from you. And Lord, that lives would be changed because of you. As we go into a time of worship, Father, search our hearts. Give us the opportunity now to worship you in song and just through the hearing of your word. God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go into a time of worship, enjoy the moment. Experience God firsthand. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. And if you're out there and you're not sure about this God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to the words of the music. Let God speak to you today and hear from him in the message. And then it's your opportunity to make a decision. Today is the day. Pastor Dylan, will you lead us?
Stirring hearts are Something I believe is very precious on God's heart, that you come together as the one body of Christ in the nation and cry for the Lord. We felt this is really needed in Egypt, that we cannot as a church in Egypt do it by ourselves or do it alone. We needed to pray. So we extended the hands and heart of love to others. We start praying on a small level, sometimes secretly, with leaders from the Orthodox Church, which is a very historical, traditional church, but strong in faith for 2,000 years now. It was like the barriers fall down between the two churches. Little by little, this was growing. And on the 11th of November 2011, when fights were taking place in the streets of Cairo, people were killed. 45,000 people gathered from all denominations in the cave church, praying and singing and shouting and clapping all the night. I remember very well at 3 o'clock in the morning, the people start by themselves, their own initiative, shouting Yeshua, Yeshua, which is Jesus in Arabic, clapping Yeshua, Yeshua. And they went on for 11 minutes. Now, I've never been in a place like this. So this was an historical night. It had a great impact in Egypt. It had great impact on other churches in the whole Arab world because it was on live on TV. One of the leaders have said this. He said, we're doing two things, repenting for not having Jesus as the head of the church for so many years, or the leader of the church, and as an act of faith of putting him into his throne again in Egypt.
Well, good morning, and I hope that you had the opportunity to listen to the words of those songs and just truly worship, to sing praises to God, to recognize that Jesus is the Lamb and worthy is his name. Today I'm going to give you my message in a little bit different order than what I typically try to do. And so I want to start with a word of prayer and go right into our message today, to share with you where we're at in the scriptures, and then at the end, to really give you a practical application of how Jesus prayed for those that would believe, and how we need to take action so that they hear the message, so that they have the opportunity to believe. Let's pray. God, this morning, I pray, Lord, right now, that as we prepare to read your word, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your message. Your word says in Psalm 119, verse 18, open our eyes that we would see wonderful things in your law. God, I pray today that as we hear the prayer of Jesus, that it would become our prayer, that we would pray for those who will believe, and that we will make a difference by shedding a light for others to see. So God, be with us now as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're in John chapter 17. My previous messages have stayed in this same time frame. We've been in John chapter 13 up to John chapter 16 and John chapter 17. The scene is that Jesus had just washed their disciples' feet. They were participating in the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. And then he began to share with them things that were going to happen, things that were going to come. As he told them that when he leaves, he'll give them the Holy Spirit. And he said that there's going to be a time of grieving, and that you guys will suffer because of me. He ended chapter 16 with these words. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. At this moment, theologians then start to question the exact timing of when Jesus begins this prayer. Were they still finishing up around the table, or had they finished at the table and started to walk out as they head to the garden where Jesus will eventually be arrested, betrayed by Judas, and put on trial? Regardless of where the actual event is taking place, we know that Jesus went back to the Father in prayer. In John chapter 17, verses 1 through 19, Jesus starts off with prayer for himself. Father, glorify me as I've glorified you. And then he goes to a prayer for his disciples. He prays for them that as he leaves them, that they would be protected and comforted by the Father. And then we get into our passage today. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. As I read through these passages, there's a lot to take from this, but I want to focus on two things. First, Jesus prays for unity amongst believers, those that will believe, that they would be unified. He says that they would be one. And second, he prays for us to love one another. He shares that by the very end by saying that in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that the love that God poured out to Jesus would now be poured out to us, so that we could just not love ourselves, but we would love our neighbors, our friends, love the lost. And so the two points I want to stress today, and I want you to follow along with me because we're going to apply them towards the end of this message. First, Jesus prays for unity. As we look at the context of the prayer, remember it's the Last Supper, that he told them he's going to be leaving them shortly. He tells them they'll be persecuted, and then he begins this prayer. He says, Father, glorify me. John chapter 17, verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them, my disciples. I am not praying for the world, but for those who have given you have given me, for they are yours. And then he shifts to our prayer for today from our scripture passage. My prayer is not for them alone, not the disciples, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus is saying that I'm not just praying for my disciples, those that already believe, but I'm praying that they would be a witness, and that whoever they witness to would believe in me because of their witness. You see, if you remember, Jesus told them that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. That was our message last week. He said, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. That was the sin of unbelief. Because people do not believe in me, the Holy Spirit will work in their lives. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit is responsible for convicting the world of unbelief. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause them to become believers. They have to make that choice on their own. But the disciples had to be a witness about Jesus. They had to go and share the gospel message. And Jesus prays that when the disciples go, that those who hear the message would believe. That message was the good news. It was that Jesus was going to the cross to atone for our sins, so that when we believe in him, the Messiah, that we would have eternal life. Our specific passage about unity begins in the next verse, verse 21. It says that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you catch that? That all of them may be one. All of the believers in me may be one. It's difficult when we see Christians fighting against each other, churches looking at each other as enemies, vying for those believers to come to their church, when yet we should be rejoicing when one comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, regardless of what church they belong to. Jesus prays for unity amongst the believers. He says that they would be one like I'm one with you, Lord. He says, Father, I'm one with you, and I pray that they would be one with each other like I am with you. Listen to some of the words of Jesus, how he explained that he and the Father are one, that everything he did was because of the Father telling him. John chapter 5, verse 19. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. If he can do only what he can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 8, 25. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught me. John chapter 10, verse 25. I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. And John 10, 32. I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And John 10, 37. Do not believe unless I do the works of my Father. Jesus is saying that me and the Father are one, and because we are that one, that example I gave you is the way I want you believers to be. I want you to be one in me, one in Christ. The oneness is made complete. We're made one because Jesus says, I will give you the advocate, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. He says, when you believe, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will testify about me. Just as I testified about my Father, the Holy Spirit will testify about me, will point the world to me, and that all believers are to be unified because of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul talks about unity as well. After meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul becomes the advocate to go and share the gospel to the Gentiles. As he writes to Ephesus, to the church, the Ephesians in Ephesus, he says in chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul is saying that we are to be eager to maintain that unity. Paul also writes to several of the other churches in Corinth and in Philippians and in Colossians. In Corinthians, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be unified in the same mind and of the same judgment. Paul says it is imperative that we be unified, that we work together for the gospel. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And in Colossians 3, 14, Paul says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That perfect harmony is in perfect union. Peter also uses this same theme of unity as well in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. We're to have unity of mind. So the first point is that Jesus is praying for unity amongst the believers. He does not mean that we have to agree about everything. He doesn't mean that we have to blindly follow one person regardless of what is being said, but that we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit and that we are one in doing so. So now that we know that Jesus prayed for unity, he also prayed for love, for us to love one another. The passage says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know me, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that," here it is, "in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." The love you have given me, that agape love, will be from me now transferred into them, and that they would unconditionally love all of those around them. Jesus prayed that we would have love. In order to love God, we have to know Jesus. When we know Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then guides us and shows us what that love is supposed to look like. And in order for us to reflect the love of God to others, we first have to have that Holy Spirit in us. We need to love God with all of our hearts, and we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. John 13, 34 and 35, back to that John 13 passage where we started this. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He says that he has loved the Father, and that now we are to show that same love as followers of Christ by loving others. We are to love those that do not know him. In order to do that, we have to know where love comes from. And in 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John tells us where that love comes from. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And so with that, we see that Jesus prayed for those who will believe, me and you today, and still for those who will believe, he says, "I pray for unity and I pray for love." When we are not dysfunctional, when we are not at odds with each other, when there is not division in the church, we have unity. When we allow Jesus to lead this church, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives daily, we'll be unified. And when that happens, it's easy for us to demonstrate love to others. Now for the application. For unity, it looks like all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking God in all matters, in everything we do, whether good or bad, tragedy, crisis, or whether in joyful times. We are to unite in prayer. We're to serve in any way we can. We're to put aside our own personal preferences, and we're to seek God in all things. As the church, we have already been given an example of what the first church did when they were unified. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 gives us that example, that model for how church should be unified. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." That was the example of the first church and unity. Second, that we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, that's easy. We come here every Sunday morning. Before COVID, we would hug each other. We would greet each other. We would share the love of Christ with each other. It's been a little bit more difficult now, not embracing and giving hugs, but giving elbow bumps or air fives from a distance. And that connection is not as strong, but the Holy Spirit still bonds us together. But we are also to love the lost. Jesus prayed for the lost, for those who will believe. He says, they're lost right now, and I pray that they will believe. It is with that I want to share a practical application. I want to share how we as a church can be unified and how we can demonstrate love for those who will believe. Back in January, I reached out to an organization to help us with evangelism, to help and equip us to want to go out and invite others to come to church. And part of the partnership was for us to receive 1,500 business cards that were invitations. And many of you had taken them off of our information center desk and had gone out and were willing to hand them out and invite folks to come to our church. The second half of that was for us to receive 100 DVDs of the Jesus movie. It's the gospel message. It would have included 3 different movies on this one DVD, all about Jesus. One would have been a family affair for you to watch as a family. One is a Jesus movie that's from the eyes of Mary Magdalene that points to who Jesus was. And then the third one is a Jesus movie for children. All 3 of these movies are in one DVD. I asked for 100 of them. The DVDs, I didn't realize, were in 8 different languages. English, Spanish, French, and 5 other languages that are prominent here in the United States. February and March came, and we hadn't received 100 DVDs, and then COVID hit. We stopped coming, and at that very moment, I realized that had we have had these DVDs, we could have handed out to those that would have been staying home. And instead of someone streaming Netflix, they could have slid in the DVD and saw the gospel message presented to them that Jesus came, he went to the cross, was buried, and rose again. I asked for 100 DVDs, and we hadn't received them through June. And as we started to open back up, it looked like we weren't going to have an opportunity to get those DVDs. And I sent one final call to this partner organization, and they decided to sign me up and said, you'll get your DVDs. Here's the point of contact, and we're sorry it's taken so long. At the same time, I get a call from another organization to come and be a part of a prayer vigil at the Capitol. The Billy Graham organization was going to be hosting a Saturday prayer for our nation. And the timing was not right, as I spend most of my weekends preparing for service and doing some of the things to prepare our church for that time. But I told them I would commit to praying while I was here at church, that I would dedicate the time as I was cleaning and preparing and getting things organized, that I would be praying during the march. The person that reached out to me was up in Maine, and he shared some of the struggles that his church has been going through, but said that he would be praying for me. And so he began praying for me in that July-August time frame. And then, the end of September, I get the message that we're going to be getting our DVDs. First, they would send me a map of an area, and that they were going to be sending me DVDs more than what I had asked for. 2 weeks ago, I got a FedEx package in the mail that was a map of our zip code, 21093. The map showed 24 different zones in our zip code. The next 24 pages were broken down maps of zones, and it identified the number of homes that were in each zone. Zone 1, which is the zone that is around our church, from Broadway to Greenspring, down to Falls and back up to our church, has a little over 300 homes in it. But as you head down Padonia Road, Zone 3 has over 1,800 homes. 2 days after I received this FedEx package on Friday, 2 weeks ago, a pallet was delivered to our church. It weighed 2,000 pounds. And I was overwhelmed by the size and the quantity of boxes that were shipped. And when I opened up and got the shipping notification, it said that there were 15,300 DVDs, 15,300 gospel tracts, and 15,300 door hangers that was donated to us by this partner organization called Saturate USA. They have challenged us to hand out the gospel message to every home in our zip code. I asked for 100 DVDs and God gave me 15,300. He says, I know this is a God-sized task, but you asked and I delivered. And you're not alone. I want you to be strong and courageous. I want you to be unified as a body. And I want you to be of one mind, unified, demonstrating love by sharing the gospel message. This past Thursday, I was on the call with Saturate USA and had pastors from all over the country praying for our church. We've got the Billy Graham organization now receiving our prayer requests for our community, for our zip code, that God would open a door in our community to share the gospel message, but more importantly, for those who will believe. And that we need to demonstrate that love by being hands and feet for God. Friends, I've been overwhelmed this past 2 weeks to see 15,300 DVDs sitting in our church. And now we need to be in prayer. Prayer that the workers, our own members, would come. It doesn't require a lot. You sit at a table, we put a bunch of DVDs in front of you, we put gospel tracts in front of you, and we put some door hangers, and you start stuffing them. And you pray over them as you're stuffing them. And then, by the time February and March comes, our goal is to start delivering them so that, before Easter, every home in our zip code has a chance to see the gospel message, to see the Jesus movie, to see why we celebrate and rejoice over the cross. Why Easter is so special to us. Today, my message is that Jesus prayed for those who would believe. And our practical application is that we need to be the hands and feet for Jesus, that we need to go forward, demonstrate that love that Jesus had for us to those who do not believe, so that they have the opportunity to make a decision for Christ. If you're here today and you've just heard this message, and you're in that category of the one who has not believed, I want you to hear this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, and that Jesus, when he came to this earth as a baby, he grew up to be a man. He was fully God and fully man. He was the perfect sacrifice, that he went to the cross to be that atonement for my sin and for yours. And in doing so, he defeated death and he rose again. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that gives us eternal life when we believe in him. If you're in darkness, if you're without hope and something is missing in your life and you hear this message, this gospel truth, know that Jesus loves you and that all you have to do is cry out to God. And when you do cry out, God, save me. I believe in your son, Jesus. He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell in you, to guide you, to comfort you. And then Jesus says, I want you to be unified with a body of believers. And I want you now to go and share love with others. Let's pray. God, your message is clear today that we are to be unified because of your son, Jesus. And that we are to demonstrate love. God, I pray if there's one that's out there right now that has not made a decision for you, that they would surrender their life. They would say, Lord, save me. And in crying out, would do so, would give their life to you. And God, for those that have been followers of yours that needed to rededicate right now, I pray that they would be unified. For some that have not been in church, I pray, God, that they would get reconnected. For others because of COVID that are unable to really get connected, God, I pray that they would begin to just get connected through whatever social media means or through teleconferences or maybe through cards and letters, whatever that may be, that the body of believers would be unified in serving you. God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for praying for those who would believe because it included me. A sinner who was lost, who was in darkness, that would have gone not to heaven but to hell had I not hit my knees and cried out to you. Thank you, God, for today's message. Thank you for praying for us, the unbelievers that will believe. And God, now that we have heard your message, I pray that we as a church would go and share that love with others so that they have the opportunity to believe in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made a decision, whatever it is, call us at the church. I want to rejoice in the fact that you are excited and want to join us in sharing the gospel message. That you want to come and you want to pack these free gifts that we're going to give to our community. And maybe you may say, I can't go out walking, but you can come and you can stuff those door hangers. You can be praying over them. And you can be encouraging those that will go door to door to share the gospel message. Whatever your decision is now, let this last song of worship really resonate in your hearts. Pastor Dylan, lead us, please. Sang along to that song, I need thee every hour. For those that will believe, that's the prayer they need to pray. If you've made that prayer, let Jesus fill you with the Holy Spirit this very moment. He'll give you comfort, he'll guide you, And he'll intercede when you don't know what to say. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of this amazing journey that God has put us on. He has sent 15,300 gospel messages that we have the opportunity to go and be the hands and feet and to share Jesus. Our mission statement as a church is go and share Jesus, four words. And we have to do it 15,300 times in our zip code to all of our friends, all of our neighbors. Thank you for joining us. Pray for our community, pray for our zip code, and until next week, take care and God bless.